We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Captain Ty Hildebrand joining you alongside my first mate. This is so weird.
Oh, Lieutenant, I like it. No, roll into it.
Lieutenant Dan Rubenstein, welcome aboard the Two's Cruise here where we talk more college football. Oh, I don't know why I got a little Baker Mayfield high in the register there, but welcome one, welcome all. It is Tuesday morning. Dan and I are back with you once more to talk through what it all means, really. Yeah, we're getting existential with it.
That's
Can't
true.
Even say it.
No, you're good.
Talking more college football. Sir, how are you?
I'm great. I say we take our Two's Cruise cues from Marty Smith and commit to the dang bit, Ty.
Just fully commit to it.
Fully commit. We've got three exercises. So what we like to do on the Two's Cruise, it's called the Two's Cruise, one, because it's on Tuesdays. I mean, it's released on Tuesdays. And we're cruising around the sport. We don't really have time to do that when we recap shows Sunday morning, when we preview shows middle of the late in the week, whatever. So the early in the week cruise is, how do we feel about this? Is this a thing? Is this situation donezo? Is this player everything? Is this situation really gaining steam? We have a list of teams, players, situations that we're going to run through and figure out how we feel because, again, we just don't have time. So three exercises today coming up shortly here. Ty, what do the people need to know before we do so?
Before we get into it, solidverbal@gmail.com, first and foremost, is where you can email us and let us know where you'd like to go next on the Two's Cruise.
I like this.
We're out here. We're out here in international waters, dog. We can't even talk about what goes on out here.
It's true. This is pirate radio. This is our own version of pirate radio.
I think that's right.
Okay. I mean, the song makes it so.
Solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know where you want to go next. You can also find us on all things social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the usual hotspots. Don't forget the subreddit, reddit.com. No, excuse me. Solidverbal. Reddit.com.
Hey.
As I've been corrected by some popular Redditors out there, If you want to take part in the conversation long after the bell of the Solid Verbal, at least in a podcast sense, you can do so out there. And if you want to check out our website, solidverbal.com, you could find all of our old shows out there. And finally, Dan, Subscribe.
Yeah, that'd be
subscribe
great.
To the show.
That's always very helpful. Sometimes we understand there are times when you can't listen to the show. Life gets in the way. And subscribing is such that, you know, it still helps. It still helps when you hit a subscription for us. I was actually looking because you mentioned solidverbal.reddit.com.
Yeah.
I was watching the U.S. Open and Serena Williams is married to Alexis Ohanian, who I think I met very briefly because he did work at a company I used to work at. But I was trying to figure out what he was saying. I was trying to read his lips from sitting in Serena's friends and family box, the US Open. And from what I could tell, he kept mouthing to her, solidverbal.com.
Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah.
So it makes all sense.
Well, on today's show, we've got a bunch of exciting stuff. The way we've kind of broken down this Tuesday cruise on this particular College Football Tuesday discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those like old Madden mini games that you'd have? Like you could build your player up by breaking up passes or throwing a ball through a hoop or kicking field. You remember that?
Yeah, of course. You could practice your safety closing in on tackles by running through bowling pins. They had a bunch of different stuff.
We've got something similar planned for today. We've got three little mini games here. Mm-hmm. You put these together. We've got one here labeled Chapter One or a Short Story.
Mm-hmm.
Another one labeled Pump the Brakes. And then, of course, an old favorite, Dunzo or Not Dunzo.
Have to.
Which goes without any further introduction. But what is this one here that we're starting with mean? Chapter One or a Short Story?
So we've got five items here for notable teams that have a very specific issue that they've shown early on in the season. Now, it is for us to decide, was this a blip? Is this something that's going to be fixed? So it's just a little short story, a self-contained situation that happened week one, week two, maybe week three, but by the time we get to October, November, long gone. Or is it chapter one in a long novella of
novella?
Issues? A novella.
Holy crap.
Which is also, I believe, a short book. But is it a long, is it the first chapter in a story that has many chapters of a very specific issue?
Okay.
All right. We'll start here.
Yeah.
We were texting about this on Saturday. Penn State's rushing issues.
Mm.
They had trouble running the ball. They go down 10-7 at the half to Buffalo. Miles Sanders was pretty good last season, 2 years, of course, and 3 years, of course. You have Saquon Barkley, just excellent at Heisman caliber. But right now, early on, especially considering who they've played, Buffalo and I believe Idaho, have not been killer on the ground. Do you think this is a short story, done with? Or is it the first chapter on a season-long struggle on the ground?
Well, look, you're right to ask it. We mentioned it on the Sunday show. You mentioned we were texting about it. The rushing game has not been all that impressive thus far. I'm not reading too deeply into it, not at this juncture anyway. Okay. Penn State's been blessed last couple seasons. They had Saquon Barkley, they had Miles Sanders, both of whom now are officially starting running backs in the NFL. So both really good.
Miles Sanders starting?
Miles Sanders got the start for the Eagles, yeah.
Oh, great, cool.
So it seems fair to give him a little bit of slack to figure it out now that both those guys are gone. Also, you were right to point out, Penn State's played Idaho and Buffalo so far. I think Pitt's defense is going to offer a stiffer test than we saw in each of the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give myself the opportunity to reassess. Penn State also has Maryland at the end of September, which is really probably the best time to reassess, given the way that Maryland's been playing. For now, I am inclined to say short story, not part of a longer novella.
I'm going to say it's chapter one. And I know there's talent back there that, you know, Ricky Slade and Journey Brown has been very good, but Pitt's run defense, Pitt's front has been fine. Maryland's pretty good. You know, not a huge, huge schedule for Maryland yet. Purdue has been okay, but Nevada just mostly throws the ball in that loss. Iowa's very strong up front. Michigan's very strong up front. Michigan State's strong up front. Minnesota's been fine. Ohio State looks improved. Indiana looks okay. I'm worried that this is a bad year to have a so-so rushing attack. So I'm going to say there are going to be weeks, there are going to be losses that we can point to an inability to control the ball on the ground for Penn State being a big chunk of it, because that seems so important with a completely inexperienced quarterback, promising in Sean Clifford, but inexperienced. So I'm going to say chapter one.
I disagree. Let's move on.
Yep.
Let's move on. Let's stick on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And let's zoom out a little bit, not just rushing issues, although rushing issues are a big deal.
Yeah.
We've got here Auburn offensive issues.
Yeah.
So this has been a theme to some degree with the Auburn Tigers. It's part of the reason why Gus Malzahn is perpetually on the hot seat, Dan,
mm-hmm.
is what we've seen from Auburn offensively chapter one, or in this case, maybe like chapter eight, because it's not just been the first time we've seen it.
Right.
Or is it a short story and a blip on the radar?
I've got chapter one. I've got another chapter one. I have Auburn having issues blocking inside, and I understand both of the defenses they've played have been strong up front, but I'm not crazy about the fact that teams can stack the box against Bo Nix, who I think is pretty good and or will be pretty good. He's got a beat up receiving core. I don't love this line. I'm going to say Auburn's going to be fine this season, but they're going to have offensive issues.
Yeah, Auburn is 110th in yards per play through games against Oregon and Tulane.
Yeah.
And their numbers actually got worse after Tulane.
Yeah. Tulane's front is legit. Like that, it's not anything to look at, you know, as a team that's below them defensively. But I think it's going to be with what they have in front of them. If they're winning big games, I think it's going to be because of the defense.
What worries me, or I should say why I'm worried about this, is first off, 70th last year in yards per play gained, and 74th in yards per carry.
Yeah.
We said all offseason that they needed to figure that out. And then secondly, they can only lean so much on Bo Nix. He's a freshman quarterback. I think he's the real deal. I like him a lot. But eventually, like all freshmen, he's going to show his stripes. He's going to show some youth. And let me throw in another qualifier if I could. The schedule gets late early for Auburn. It's all fun and games now. And against Kent State this coming week. But after that, we've got what? A&M, Mississippi State, at Florida. This offense is going to have to prove itself in very short order. They need to get it worked out here. And as you mentioned, beat up wide receiving core. The running game has been a bit in flux. Freshman quarterback. There are reasons to worry. I'm with you, although I don't think it is just chapter one. I think it's part of a recurring novella. I love that word.
Thank you very much.
This is like chapter three after the last two seasons.
Yeah, and when you look at their schedule too, I think Arkansas is going to be a nice relief, but even Ole Miss has looked solid on defense. Even they might simply be below average by the time they play, and that's a week after LSU, so there's body blow theory potential. We'll see. We will see, but I'm saying chapter one.
We agree. Where are we going next?
Let's go to something you're familiar with, Notre Dame. And their rush defense. Now, they struggled early on against Louisville. We're really taking this to extremes, our Louisville voices. But do you think that there is something more there? I think we're 2 weeks out of the Georgia game. Although after Georgia, I'm not sure how many teams can truly test them on the ground. But is it a short story that, okay, they struggled against Louisville. They have New Mexico. They'll be fine. Or chapter one, season-long issue, stopping the run.
I came into the season assuming that this was going to be a problem, that it would be essentially chapter one. And in the game we saw against Louisville, I did not see much to convince me otherwise.
Wow.
They did get better as that game went on. And I hate to judge too much on what we saw in week one, but that's really all we have to go on at this point. The big test is in 2 weeks against Georgia. And I know another thing we've texted about is what I think Georgia's game plan should be against Notre Dame. I think they should run it up the middle.
Straight at them.
And then when they get tired of doing that, I think they should do it again and again and again. So maybe my mind will change after whatever goes down in that Georgia game in 2 weeks. I don't know. But I came into the season with the assumption that this was going to be chapter one of a rickety rush defense, particularly up the gut. And I don't think I have enough data at this point to say anything to the contrary. So I'm saying chapter one.
I don't know after Georgia if I see a team on this schedule in which I don't have to raise the register of my voice a little bit when wondering if they're good enough to really go at Notre Dame. Virginia, Bowling Green, USC, Michigan. Virginia Tech, Duke, Navy, BC, Stanford. There's nobody I'm very confident. After seeing Michigan's new quote-unquote offense, I mean, USC has talent back there. Michigan is young back there. I don't see an obvious team after Georgia that, if Notre Dame has that as a weakness, can fully take advantage.
Okay.
So you're saying
we disagree.
Short story, disagree.
All right, next one. Texas's pass defense, Dan.
Yeah.
We saw what happened against Joe Burrow and LSU. Had a bit of a field day on a rather big stage. I was told that Texas was DBU. Has that changed?
Well, Texas told you that, so consider your source. But yeah, I don't think it's quite there right now. No, I think LSU has more of a right to call themselves that. If that is a thing, LSU is that thing.
Yeah, this was a concern, the Texas pass defense, before the season.
Mm-hmm.
We really like the back end of the defense, but they were playing true sophomores at corner.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a tall order, especially in the Big 12. Now, through two games, Texas is 127th in the nation in yards per game, 113th in yards per attempt. Those are both passing statistics, mind you.
Right.
So it makes sense that we'd be talking about this here. I take a look at their remaining schedule. I say chapter one, because Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor, bunch of prolific passing teams that are yet to be played. So chapter one for me.
I'm not there, man. I think LSU is that good on offense. I'm riding with the new offense and Joe Brady and Joe Burrow and whatever. I love LSU, and I think Texas is going to be fine. They have Oklahoma State with a first-year starting quarterback, a redshirt freshman, who I think is good. I think he's pretty good, and he has good receivers, but the game is in Austin. I don't think they're going to be as prolific as LSU was. West Virginia goes from Will Grier to nothing. Their offense is scary bad looking right now. I think Jalen Hurts is going to be very good. I don't think he's going to be Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield. He started out the season looking like it. Kansas, TCU is a quarterback mess right now. Kansas State, we have no idea. They haven't played anybody. They handled Brock Purdy and Iowa State last year. I think, the game's in Ames this year. Texas Tech, Baylor, these aren't teams that, Tech had a decent game against them. Baylor didn't torch the Texas defense last year. I feel okay about the Texas pass defense. I do. I don't think they're going to be down for longer than a year.
Longer than a year, sure, but...
Last year. I don't think they're going to be longer than last year.
Okay. We disagree.
I mean, the Taylor Cornelius, Will Grier losses, I think, are significant. Upperclassmen, very good quarterbacks.
We disagree. Moving on. Final one here. The Washington passing game, Dan. Why'd you throw this one on there?
Because it was rough against Cal. It was rough, and it was sort of twofold, because I really like Washington's offensive line. I've always been a little bit questioning of Jacob Eason and this receiving core, and it's a broken record on this show since John Ross. Not the same. Talent for plays, talent for situations, but overall, I think they're strongest at tight end, and that's worrisome because they recruited pretty well there. I'm going to say chapter one. I'm going to say with the schedule they have in front of them, I'm going to say it's a bad year to have both a questionable receiving core and questionable quarterback. Yes, Cal has the best secondary in the conference.
Right.
That is a thing. I don't want to disrespect Cal on defense. But when you look at Washington's schedule, I think there's a lot of, there's speed bumps. There's road blockages. USC looks strong up front on defense. BYU is no slouch. Oregon, Utah in consecutive. I know there's a bye week between them. I think Washington State, it's at home, and Washington owns Washington State, so I'm not terribly worried about that. But between USC, Oregon, and Utah, those are the teams you have to beat if you're Washington. And if you're losing to Cal, it suddenly becomes a lot dicier.
You missed a prime opportunity instead of roadblock to say blockade. Remember,
thank
we're
you.
Out here. International waters, high seas, Dan. This is the Two's Cruise. Thank you very much.
Disagree? Agree? What do you think?
I'm not ready to be that worried yet.
Okay.
There were always going to be some growing pains with Jacob Eason. I think that's a given. Sure, he's been around a couple of years, but I just think this is expected.
At home?
Yeah, look.
In front of hundreds of people at 3 a.m.?
I know. I know it's hard to believe, but I think growing pains are sort of a given. I also don't want to base anything too much on that Cal game, because Cal's got a good defense, the good secondary.
Yep.
It's early in the season. Outside of Cal and maybe Oregon and Utah, I just don't feel like there are that many good defenses in the Pac-12. Sorry.
Here's a sub-question that I think is the raciest, hottest, takiest question I could possibly ask. Was the Cal game an upset?
I think so.
You think so? You think by the end of the year, by October, we're going to say, wow, that was way out of character for what we now know about these two teams?
No, I don't think we're going to see it as out of character, but I also don't think that.
Because you're a big Cal head.
No, I was.
Everybody knows that about you.
Cal head. No, I don't think it was out of character, but I do think it was an upset.
Okay. I think it's worth asking. Just asking questions.
This question goes away in a week because Washington has Hawaii. And my guess is that Jake Eason's going to throw for 350 and like 5 touchdowns.
As far as I can tell, Hawaii is 2-0 against Pac-12 teams in 2019.
True. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's put this one back on the docket after the USC game at the end of September.
Oh, like a Two's Cruise buoy?
Yeah.
Just floating out, waiting to be picked up? Okay.
Nice recovery. Thank okay. you. Where are we going next? What is our next mini game here? I see pump the brakes.
Yeah. All right. So this is quite simple. This is sort of similar to thing or not a thing, but let's be more specific about our excitement regarding a lot of positive situations in college football. So simply, I'm going to give you a situation and you say, yeah, we should pump the brakes, relax a little bit. Or, nah, got the need for speed.
See, this is a problem.
This specific list?
This is a problem.
Yeah.
I'm full throttle on everything. I always am.
Are you? You're 5 for 5 in these teams.
Well, we didn't go through them yet.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that my problem with games like this is I always run a little hot this early in the season. This is how I get myself into corners with TCU and Ole Miss. And yeah.
We get notes all the time from people having to pull off the road because it's getting so steamy coming from their speakers because you run so hot.
My glasses are fogging up here. Where are we going first?
All right. Pump the brakes. North Carolina, Ty. Are we pumping some brakes?
I'm all in. I got the need, baby.
I think they hit a wall. I'm going to pump those brakes. I'm going to be encouraged and I'm going to be hopeful, but I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on North Carolina.
Did you see Mac Brown's robotic dance after week one?
Did you see Mac Brown almost give away 2 straight weeks of games? In which he had probably the better quarterback for all 4 quarters?
Excuse me, the quarterback who has a little bit of Mayfield
in him. Yeah. So,
he's wonderful, Sam Howell. I love him.
The thing that you have going for you in running hot for the heels, hashtag hot for the heels, Wake Forest on the road, App State, Clemson, but it's in Chapel Hill, at Georgia Tech, at Virginia Tech, Duke, Virginia, tough, at Pitt, we'll see, Mercer at NC State, tough. There's not a lot of tough certainty on this schedule right now, with Virginia Tech looking as dicey as they look, Georgia Tech rebuilding, App State with a new coach, Wake Forest, who I think is going to be dangerous, but still. I think North Carolina is just going to hit a couple walls. I think they lost a starting corner just now for the season with the torn ACL. There's a freshman factor with Sam Howell where he's just going to have a clunker of a game against a team he shouldn't. That's what I'm worried about with North Carolina, where we made a statement of, do we have to start talking about 8-4 North Carolina? I think we should pull back to 6-6, 7-5 North Carolina.
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
There were no expectations for North Carolina this
season. That's
true. So they were always playing with house money. Anything that isn't bad is very good. So this is an easy one for me. They're not going to win the ACC, but the ceiling is much, much higher than I think we thought. This week against Wake should be a hell of a game. I think I saw they're about a 3-point dog in that game. I think there's a lot of shootout potential. So all of this is gravy. As far as I'm concerned, I did the preview for North Carolina, excuse me, and I was not gung-ho on them at all. So all of this has been just extra added fun for me. I'm all in here.
So repeat the words after me. I wouldn't be surprised if North Carolina goes 8-4.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Whoa! I love it. I love it. Okay.
Next one up here is Maryland.
Dan, America's team.
Yeah, this is Maryland's another house money situation.
Yeah.
Because nobody thought they'd be all that good. Now, through 2 weeks, they've got the top scoring offense in college football. And after they toasted my Syracuse Orange last week, it is, I think, hard not to look at this team and be very excited.
I'm with you, Ty. I've got the need for speed with the Terps.
Let's do it.
I'm ripping the brakes out of the floor of this boat. That's where the brakes are, right? Probably not.
Sure.
Temple, Penn State Friday night at home, short week. Yeah. Rutgers, not super good. Purdue, kind of disappointing early a little bit, even though Elijah Sindelar had a nice week. Indiana, Minnesota, who has been below average, I think. Michigan, Ohio State, Nebraska, Michigan State. I have questions about everybody on their schedule except for probably Ohio State. In terms of if Maryland's scoring with anybody, as we already know, they can score with Ohio State, yes?
Yeah,
that's been proven.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Maryland's better than they were last year offensively. So I'm all in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of breaking this, and that's B-R-A-K-I-N-G,
yeah,
this terp train.
Maybe going to a bowl this year. I feel pretty good about that.
They need four wins.
Maybe going to a bowl,
please,
which would be a coup for, you know, any first-year coach, but certainly in this case here with Mike Locksley, who, as we've joked time and again, knows the DMV. Now he brings Josh Jackson into the fold. He's been an absolute revelation at quarterback, seems very comfortable in the system.
Mm-hmm.
The running game's been outstanding. This is another one, I think, where we got to reevaluate at some point, maybe after Maryland plays Penn State.
All right.
In 2 weeks. But
stick a buoy in it.
As for now, let's stick that buoy in and let's let ourselves get excited here.
And you've been out there for the game. Where should Maryland fans look to stay ahead of the Rose Bowl? Where, like, do you stay in that, like, that Glendale, Pasadena area, more downtown to get to more places? Go by the water. Okay.
Let's go to Colorado here.
Yes.
Where do you stand on the Buffs?
I'm going to say relax on Colorado.
Yeah.
I'm going to say relax because of what their defenses look like in first halves. And I don't think you can build a 6-7-8 win team around needing to scrap and come back every week. Not that they had to do that against Colorado State, but they gave up a good chunk of points against the Rams, who I don't think are all that good. And with how they fell behind against Nebraska, I think there's going to be depth issues, and I think there's going to be bad habit issues on defense. So as fun as they can be on offense, which they 100% can be, I'm going to say, yep, the Nebraska one was exciting. But if you need that to beat an okay Big Ten West team, which is where I'm at with Nebraska right now, not a good sign.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Colorado can win 6 or 7 games. The problem is they're all going to have to be games like we saw this past weekend, which, by the way, I'm fine with. That was a hell of a game.
From an entertainment perspective,
from an entertainment standpoint, from a fan's
perspective. If you're a Colorado fan.
If you're rich in Boulder, who's listened to this show forever,
yeah,
maybe not so much.
Okay.
But enjoy Stevie Montez and LaVisca Chenault Jr. While they're still in Boulder.
May I present what their schedule looks like from Friday, October 11th on?
Yes.
Oregon, Washington State, USC. Hey, UCLA. Stanford, Washington at Utah.
That's tough. That's a tough ask.
And that's at Oregon, at Wazoo. Yeah.
That's a tough ask.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have. So we agree on Colorado. Do we have any other ones in pumping the brakes? We do. We have a couple more. Jalen Hurts. Now, the brake pumping question is Heisman.
Heisman?
Is Jalen Hurts like 4 miles away from me in early December? Is he in Manhattan? Because right now, he is the best quarterback in the country statistically. Granted, it's Houston and whoever they played this past week. Jalen Hurts is putting up stupid numbers in the most Heisman-friendly offense in the country with an incredible receiving core, with incredible running backs, with great offensive line development recently. Jalen Hurts, New York or New York-adjacent quarterback?
It's an interesting question.
That's Elizabeth, New Jersey, by the way, is New York adjacent.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I wonder if Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne split the vote.
I don't.
On some level.
Okay. Disagree, but okay.
Wow, this is a good question. So you didn't write Heisman on your initial label.
I didn't. No, I'm just saying, okay, so in the context of this game, it's just, does your excitement about this know no bounds, or are you protecting your heart?
I'm not protecting my heart.
Okay.
I think, so here's why I'm not protecting my heart.
Yeah.
Because Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield happened the last 2 years.
Right.
And I feel pretty comfortable that Lincoln Riley is good enough with his offense. He's already using him a little differently, which we can get into. But I feel pretty confident that he will find a way to utilize his skill set. And I do feel pretty confident that Jalen Hurts will be in New York. I feel good about that.
I'm totally with you. I am totally and completely with you. These are the defenses that they have the rest of the season. So even if Jalen Hurts is, you know, has an uneven week or two, UCLA, Texas Tech, who I think should be okay this year, Kansas, Texas, who you don't like. You're on the record. You don't like their past defense.
Dead to me.
West Virginia, who I think is going to be a little bit tricky defensively. I just don't know if it'll be this year. Kansas State, new coach, new year. We'll see. I think they're going to be feisty. Iowa State, who's been a thorn for Oklahoma. Baylor, who they roughed up last year. TCU, sure. Okay. Oklahoma State, not so sure. I think it's all for the taking for Jalen Hurts. Need for speed.
He's got 9 total touchdowns in 2 games, and it is hard not to be excited, especially when you see him run.
Yeah.
I cannot stress this enough. He's a different kind of runner than Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. Those guys were really good at jumping around in the pocket to give themselves more time to throw.
A little more slight, speedy guys, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and look, I hear people yelling at me already. There were plenty of designed runs for both of them.
Sure.
Jalen Hurts is a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
He's got really good moves, and he wants to take you on.
Yeah.
He wants to take guys on. I don't know if he's as good a passer as either Baker or Kyler. My sense is no.
Okay.
But he's a different kind of runner. And I think that's what Lincoln Riley is going to latch on to. He's going to find ways to create matchup advantages for the Oklahoma Sooners offense, knowing that he's got that skill set. So I think we're in strong agreement here that Jalen Hurts has a remarkable season, ends up in New York, maybe doesn't win the Heisman, but who cares?
And
great year.
The thing is, the more dangerous the runner at quarterback, the more a defense needs to dedicate somebody to spying on him, which opens things up even more for this Oklahoma
for
offense.
Sure.
And he has Lincoln Riley. He has something nobody else has. He has the best offensive mind in the sport. Final one, LSU. Are we pumping the brakes on, you are saying the Texas pass defense is, I mean, you didn't say dunzo, but you said the Texas pass defense, it's just chapter one in a long season of issues.
Yes.
So that leads me to believe that there's at least part of you that says, I don't know if I fully believe in LSU because they went up against a suspect pass defense in Texas.
So that deep breath you heard, that long exhale.
Yeah. I'm tickling your brain.
Was me, that, you know, it's heart versus head. That is me overruling my heart. Going back to my head a little bit.
Okay.
Trying to play this a little bit more logically.
They've got defenses coming up.
I'm going to say to relax. And it's for a reason that you mentioned on Sunday's recap. Texas is not back. They are not back.
Okay.
If anyone's got the question, they are not back. And it has not been the best early season measuring stick the last couple of years, the Texas Longhorns.
Okay, that's
not
reasonable
to take anything away from what LSU did.
And LSU in early years, in early games these past few years, they've had really nice offensive moments.
LSU was phenomenal against Texas, but this is more a bet against Texas as a measuring stick than anything that LSU did.
Okay.
This is all I'm saying here. I think the offensive renaissance is legit for what it's worth. I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. I think Joe Burrow is going to have a great year. But I want to get another data point against a Power 5 team before we remove the brakes out of the bottom of the boat, if that's where they are. we pull the anchor up, huh?
Cut the engine. So as soon as they play Vandy on the road, their next Power 5 opponent, you will have an official ruling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it helps. It helps, but I'm talking a better opponent.
Okay.
Better caliber opponent.
So you're Florida or Starkville. In mid-October. Okay.
That would be nice. That'd be nice to see.
I have the need for speed. I'm all in. I'm just all in, completely in. I want to be an early adopter. I am pushing my chips to the center. I want to go back like one of those horrible, horrible Silicon Valley investors who's like, I was in on Square and Uber early. I was in the Series A. I'm Series A for this LSU offense. I'm in.
Okay.
That's it. I don't hold back,
and
Ty. I'm not protecting my heart.
Our final game before we let the fine people go.
Dunzo!
Dunzo
or not dunzo.
Here is the way this game works. We've got 5 teams before us. We're going to rattle through all of them and decide if we think they are dunzo, i.e., are they done?
Yeah, I mean, it's just after 2 weeks, can we cross them off the list of teams that will be good, scary, feisty, whatever, in late October?
It is more relative to our own personal expectations for these teams, but
yeah, within the context of our and general expectations.
Dunzo or not dunzo? Is there still time to right the ship? Get things going on a better course. Let's start with the Syracuse Orange Dan.
Yeah.
Dunzo or not Dunzo?
Dunzo.
Dunzo!
I'm out. I am out.
Agree. I think I agree. I'm Dunzo on this being a team that can challenge Clemson in a letdown spot after A&M, because that was like my big thing going into the year.
I thought
maybe got some players on defense. Offensively, they've got Dino Babers coaching. He's a bright offensive mind. He'll be able to put something together. Dunzo on that theory. And I'm definitely Dunzo in this being a team that can win 9 or 10 games. They just haven't looked good.
I'm hearing early upset call against the Crusaders late September from you. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm interpreting my captain as saying. So they have Clemson at home, Carry Dome. I think that's the night game, right?
Yeah.
It's the night game on ABC. A couple winnable weeks, Western Michigan, Holy Cross. And then there's just no gimmies. There's just no gimmies the rest of the way. NC State, Pitt, Florida State. I know. I hear you. Not a gimme. It's at Florida State. Boston College, Duke, Louisville, Wake Forest. So this Syracuse team, which should get pretty good quarterback play and I think is pretty good up front on defense, I just am not seeing it. I'm not, you know, when you give up as much as they did against Maryland, when the offensive line looked like what it did against Liberty week one, issues there. Not being able to run the ball with any sort of consistency. I know that's what Dino Babers wants to do. He wants that like power spread running the ball. I don't see it. I'm not there. I think Syracuse goes to a bowl game, but I thought last year was a series of, not fortunate because they made their own luck, but it was a good year to be pretty good in the ACC. That's all I'll say.
And they had a veteran quarterback in
Eric
Dungy.
Correct. So I'm going to say Dunzo.
What about the Michigan Wolverines, Dan?
I'm very close to Dunzo.
Wow.
But I just can't fully get there. So I'm going to say not Dunzo. Because of the defense, because of questions I have about the teams on their schedule, and it's a tough schedule, even though I think Notre Dame is in Ann Arbor this season. It's teetering. It's Dunzo adjacent, but I'm going to say no because of the combination of defense and quarterback. I'm still a little bit of a Shea Patterson believer with the receivers, and sometimes moving over to a new offense, it just takes reps. And so that's why I can't fully go Dunzo.
You ever try to install an app that gets stuck?
For sure.
And you've got that little spinny thing.
The worst.
On the phone, and you can't figure out, like, what am I supposed to do here? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to wait it out and see if it completes and if it turns the appropriate color? Or am I supposed to hold down on the app, click the X, and start the whole dang thing over?
Right.
That's where I'm at with Michigan's offense right now. Like, we still can't use it. You know, it's not usable to the fullest extent at this point. I think Josh Gattis is going to get it eventually, and there's so much talent here. They're 2-0. It hasn't always been pretty, but the entire season's in front of Michigan. The installation eventually, even though it hasn't gone smoothly, will take hold. There's still plenty of time for that to manifest. I am not Dunzo in Michigan.
Will it take hold against a team who has given up literally 0 points this year? Wisconsin, their next game after a bye week.
I'm not sure about that. But I'm also not sure that Jack Cohn is going to have much passing success the way he did last week against a really good Michigan defense.
Okay. Iowa's
been
a thorn.
I'm very excited for this game.
Penn State's been a thorn in State College. Notre Dame. The back half of this schedule is tricky.
I'm not Dunzo yet.
Okay. We agree. UCLA. So,
yeah. I was going to say, before we get to UCLA, can we just do a universal Dunzo on UCLA?
I think so, yeah.
Dunzo!
The first 2 weeks for UCLA could not have gone much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we were in disagreement after our Thursday show last week when I bravely picked San Diego State just to cover over UCLA. I didn't think they'd win.
Yeah, sorry.
So here we are now, 0-2. Clearly, the UCLA natives growing a bit restless with Chip Kelly. Seemed like they had a ton of talent coming back. I mean, was obviously going to take a little bit for the Chipper system to fully be implemented, but we're at a real weird place now with UCLA.
You know how sometimes when you buy a piece of refurbished electronics, they'll tell you the exact, like they'll grade the condition it's in?
Yep.
Like out of 10, they'll say it's a 7+. Some scuffs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to restart it. that's what it may be that Chip Kelly is right now.
Yeah.
In terms of a refurbished coach with some scuffs and some issues, like once you take it, it's yours. There's no returns. And I think UCLA might be in that place this year. Maybe after you restarted enough in a year, everything seems to be smoothly working out. But Oklahoma and Wazoo against this UCLA team these next couple weeks. And then that's before Khalil Tate on the road.
It's a problem.
I know Stanford. Well, I think Stanford will probably have KJ Costello back, hopefully by mid-October when they play. And the bummer is this would have been a great year for UCLA to really improve. And they still might. No Oregon, no Washington from the North. This was a great year.
Yeah.
And I don't see it. I just don't. I think they just, especially on offense, they don't have a dude at quarterback. They don't have three quarters of a dude at quarterback. I don't think the line's all that good. I don't think the skill talent. I mean, Josh Kelly is, I think, pretty good. But I don't know what we're seeing from UCLA. I mean, what we've seen from UCLA is not great. Yeah. They're done.
All right. Two last ones here very quickly, if we could. West Virginia.
Dunzo.
Dunzo!
I am Dunzo as well.
Yeah.
But that's not saying much because I was Dunzo before the season. This was not going to be a good team. It's going to take a little bit for Neil Brown. I think eventually he'll get there with them.
Yeah,
I
we like disagreed Brown a lot. On that before the year. I like them.
We did. Yeah, but I'm not a huge West Virginia fan. It's just going to take time. So we agree now on West Virginia.
We agree. Schedule is workable for a decent team, but I think, especially on offense, it's too rough right now. Maybe they're feisty by the end of the year, but now it sort of looks like not really bullish. I don't know.
Okay. And our final subject here is Kentucky.
Yeah.
I was very quick last year to dismiss Kentucky.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible season. I'm going to hold my fire for now because I don't want to rub salt in the wound. Like, it just sucks that Terry Wilson went down for the year. He's a good kid. It sucks to see that happen. I want to see what Sawyer Smith can do against Florida before I make a judgment here. But needless to say, your starting quarterback goes down, that puts a lot of the season's plans in peril.
Yeah, they've got a couple tough ones right away. Florida, and they travel to Starkville to take on the Dawgs, the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. I'm going to say Dunzo.
Dunzo!
I'm going to say Dunzo, and I don't think it's necessarily because of the quarterback situation. I think it might be a little more on the defense. With what they have in front of them, I think Florida's improved on offense. We'll see what the status of Tommy Stevens is. I haven't seen anything recently in his upper body situation, his shoulder, whatever. I like Ryan Helinski at South Carolina. I think Georgia's going to be quite strong. Back half of their schedule, though, that's where it sneaks up. And I think even with a backup quarterback, they could wiggle themselves into bowl eligibility, 7 wins, but it's going to take a little bit. And from what we've seen early against Toledo and Eastern Michigan, I'm a little bit worried about this defense. I'm a little bit worried.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
I'm going to say Dunzo.
So there you go. Thank you for hopping aboard the Two's Cruise here.
Yeah, it's been great.
I'm Captain Ty, Lieutenant Dan. We're going to roll with this whole little metaphor the entire season.
Do you get seasick? My guess is yes. Oh, no.
No. Solid as a rock. I love boats. Love them.
You love boats. I enjoy boats as well. So I'm glad that this is the Two's Cruise. When was the last time you were on a boat?
Wow, good question. I was on a boat last summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I took a ferry a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, with the Solid Baby. He loved it.
Great.
So I feel like this is all apt and appropriate for what we're doing. We disagreed in a number of places, but I think we can agree, maybe the best Two's Cruise we've ever voyaged upon.
Some would say the inaugural Two's Cruise, yes.
That's true.
Thank you to one. Thank you to all for stopping on by here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back on Thursday morning to preview all of the Week 3 action. In the meantime, again, don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you like your podcasts, you can find The Solid Verbal. Also, we are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And as we said earlier, don't forget to join the subreddit where the conversation continues long after the final bell here.
Correct.
Solidverbal.reddit.com. That's all I got.
All right, same. Honk, honk.
for that guy over there.
Is that what a like a tugboat horn sounds
yeah.
like?
Yeah. No, exactly like that.
That's more of, yeah, I'm good with it.
Dan Rubenstein over there in New York City. I'm Ty Hildenbrand, Captain Ty Hildenbrand here in Eastern Pennsylvania. We'll catch y'all in a day or two. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.